Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome last week at the concerts, and it's equally tremendous today. So thank you very much for that. Yeah. I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling it. In John 15, 16, Jesus says this. He says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last." And there's a lot in that little passage there. But it's so true, isn't it? We didn't choose to come to planet Earth, you know. All of a sudden, we showed up one day. You know, there we were. And this is the way it works on planet Earth, that God decides to create this universe and people it with us. And so here we are. And we could say, well, my parents brought me into this, you know. And that's true to a degree. But if you trace it back, they didn't get choice either. They were brought in by their parents and so on. And eventually, you trace it back to God. God brings us here and then says, make of it what you will, right? Gives us that wonderful free will, that choice. But we get to see it in a unique way, each of us. But it's interesting. It's not like somewhere down the line we said, well, I think I'm going to come to planet Earth and I'm going to show up there. No. It's not like that. Here we were, little babies, opening our eyes to the miracles and possibility and the terror and the fear and the frightening qualities of being alive on planet Earth. So Jesus is reiterating this truth, right? You didn't choose me, but I chose you, right? The Christ's nature within each of us chooses us. It is available to us, has poured energy into us, right? And this is exceptionally good news. Because listen to this, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Now, if you're chosen and appointed in a sphere of your life, what's the impact of that? You are chosen and appointed. You have a duty, but what more than that? You've been chosen and appointed. You are worthy, aren't you? You're worthy to receive. You've been exalted. You've been lifted up. You've been chosen and appointed to that task, right? Yeah, you have a duty, but it's a great duty because you are considered to be capable of it, right? Worthy of it and capable of it. And this is the self-worth that God pours out onto us. I know you're capable. You could do this. You have been chosen and appointed so that you could go and produce fruit. Now, what does that mean? Because fruit can mean many different things, can't it, in our lives. What are we about then? We're supposed to produce fruit. What does that mean to you? What speaks to you about that? All right, good works. Somebody said at 9:30 service, like I'm to produce good fruit in the sense that serve others. Yes. Spread love. Live abundantly is one of the things that I feel. You know, live to the full. Take advantage of all the gifts. I've been appointed to live my life to the full. Not sort of a half life, but a full life. Yeah, I'm worthy to receive that because God has chosen us. He's chosen you and me, every single person, to be filled with this energy, right? So we can fruit, to produce fruit. And then he adds this at the end, and so that your fruit could last. Because, folks, if we're producing fruit from a human perspective, it may be good one day, but it's rotten the next. Whereas when we're coming from the Jesus Christ perspective, right, from the consciousness of the Christ within us and all the qualities that are imbued in that, that fruit is going to last because it is fruit that is generous, loving, wise, principled, full of possibility, yeah, endlessly renewing, good fruit. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, put it this way. He says, God has chosen each of us as a medium for the expression of himself as love, life, wisdom, abundance, health, and so forth. And I like that word. God has chosen each of us as a medium for the expression of himself, right? It's like Netflix or something, Netflix. We have so many channels. We're a medium for an abundance of all good things, right? Are you listening, though, to the same old channel? See, when there's so much possibility, right? We're a medium. We can be anything that we choose to be. Yeah. That means I don't have to think the same old thoughts. I can tune into and I can grow, I can unfold, I can tune into new and better ways of approaching my life, yes? That's what it means to me. Appointed to produce fruit that will last because it's of the Christ, right? It's of a Christ potential that has been poured. I didn't choose this. God chose it for me. God has given me. This whole idea that, you know, Jesus is the one and only, and he's the perfect one. I don't know where they get this, because God created the whole universe, and we're all in it. Now, Jesus discovered his God-given potential, right? In fullness, in magnificence. But what did he say? I want you to feel it too. I want you to follow me and have the same consciousness, right? So God has poured it out into all of us. Here's what's even more remarkable, is that God didn't force us to get this, right? God gives us free will to either accept it, to be in alignment, to manifest the good, or to say, to heck with it, I want to live a miserable life. And God's not going to come down on you because you chose that, right? Who comes down on you? You do. You limit yourself, you know? And of course we want to follow the higher way, but it's so easy to get distracted, just like Wendy was saying earlier, you know, am I going to get along with my family members? You know, what's going to go, that darn present, I can't find it anywhere, whatever. Case in point, coming down the highway from home today, man, there's a big fracking truck, and it's coming down the left lane, and it says clearly every 10 yards, no trucks in left lane. Guess he can't read, but here's me being righteous, right? Thinking that fracking truck should not be in that left lane. He's careering down at 75 miles an hour. I'm craning my neck at him, trying to say, listen, man, you shouldn't be in that lane. Now, what's that to me? Why is that important to me? That's stupid. That is not fulfilling my God-given potential to try and argue with a big old truck that can't even see me anyway. This is true, and you should know, I know, because you drive one, don't you? Or you drive a big truck. It wasn't you, was it? I know, Chuck, you would never drive in the left lane like that when there's signs every half a mile saying, no trucks in the left lane. And then I laughed at myself and thought, this is going to make a good story later, so it was okay. But see, he seems to be drawn off. And here's the key. This is how it truly works. There's an inner recognition that leads to an outer product, right? An outer action. And that's the balance of it. We are appointed, but we're not appointed to sit around and do nothing. We're appointed to produce fruit, to live the enlightened life. And some of us are sort of on hold about it. We're not sure it's going to happen, right? We're worried about it. We're fuzzy about it. I'm not sure I'm ready for this, etc. But, you know, whenever Spirit has spoken to me, and I'm sure this is the same for you, it didn't happen when you fixed the car, washed the dishes, got all the chores out the way, sat down and said, okay, God, give me a mystical experience. It's not going to work like that, you know? It's going to happen when you least expect it. But you have to be ready for it. You have to be open to it. You have to marry your inner awareness with outer availability, right? So you've got to get right with the understanding that we are worthy to receive, because if you can't get right with yourself around that, you're probably going to miss those moments when God is speaking. They come in real strange ways. You got one you want to share? I'm putting you on the line, but you did say they come in strange ways. Right. Right. So things happen even though you had no idea they could happen that way. Mysteries unfolding. Exactly. Beautiful. Great Christmas present. In Hamlet, and some of us have gone to see the Hamlet, this out there with Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, it was filmed in the West End of London, and then they showed the movie at the Modern Art Museum this week. Been a wonderful thing to see if you're into Shakespeare, and if you're into Benedict Cumberbatch, which a lot of people are. But at the end of the play, where he's now ready, he's ready to do what is his to do. My thoughts be bloody or nothing more. He's ready to take action. He spent the whole day, the whole play, worrying about, you know, what should I do? But he's reached the stage where, no, this is mine to do now. I'm ready. And it's a very spiritual point. Of course, it leads to terrible mayhem and death. That's Shakespeare. But he's ready to do what is his to do. Because, folks, this is the thing about Jesus, you know. I think part of the bittersweet quality of thinking about the baby Jesus is knowing, isn't it, what's going to happen to the baby Jesus, right? That he's going to end up in terrible pain and difficulty. In fact, some of the worst things that humanity could do to another person is done to Jesus. And that's okay, because he prevails through it. But it gives it that bittersweet feeling. And I think it's the same with any child that we have, any grandchild. We see their beauty and their innocence, but we also know the command. They're going to have to go through some tough times just like we did. And we can't prevent them from doing that, right? They have to embrace life to the full. That's the choice we all have to make. But we have to be ready for that, I think, and willing to embrace it. You know, an inner awareness of our holiness and an outer willingness to bring that wholeness, the holiness, out into our world. Anyway, he's ready to act. It's just before the great scene at the end of Hamlet where there's a duel and a bunch of people die. And Horatio, his best friend, says to him, look, if your mind dislike anything, object and obey it. It will forestall their coming hither, and they'll say you're not fit. In other words, it's the humanness in us that says, oh, I'm not ready right now, and, you know, talk to me later, you know, putting things off. Now, what happens if you put things off too much in your life? You miss an opportunity, don't you? And Hamlet's having none of this, you know. He says this, not a whit. I defy augury. There is a special providence in the fall of a sparrow. If it be now, 'tis not to come. If it be not to come, it will be now. If it be not now, yet it will come. The readiness is all. We didn't choose to come here. It was chosen for us on planet Earth, right? But now we're here, we get the choice. Are you going to be ready for it? Or are you going to cower in a corner saying, why did I have to come to planet Earth, right? And we may not be doing that literally, but we could be doing it symbolically and metaphysically. We are not living to our full potential. We are hiding away. And the message of Jesus Christ is, no, come on out into the open. I want to read a poem about making the wrong choices, if you like, of choosing to stay in the old way of living, right? And it's what Roger Teal calls, and he's the minister at Mile High Church of Spiritual Living in Denver, Colorado. He calls it the old, the cold, and the told. It's old, you've heard it before. It's cold because there's no real energy in it anymore. And you've been told about it by somebody else. It's not direct experience. And you know, if our lives are filled with the old, the cold, and the told, we're in trouble, aren't we? And we make poor decisions. And so the message is, no, you have to trust ourselves. This is why we call it new thought, because it's not old anymore. It's new every day, right? And it's full of energy and power. It's not cold. And somebody didn't tell you about it, because they could tell you all day, but until you feel it, realize it, it doesn't become true, right? It's not the truth. You can be appointed all day, folks, but if you're unwilling to take the position, nothing's going to happen for you, right? Anyway, the poem is based on the story of Abraham and Isaac. Remember, there's a real tough story in Genesis where Abraham is told by God to take Isaac and sacrifice him. I want you to show me how faithful you are. I want you to sacrifice your son. and he takes him up the mountain, and he's about to kill him when God calls out and says, stop, there's a ram caught in the thicket. I want you to sacrifice him instead of your son. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful. You've been willing to not know how it's all going to work out. You've been willing to let go and surrender. It's a tough one, though. You know, who would do that, kill your own son? But this poem is based on that, and it was written during the First World War by Wilfred Owen, who was a wonderful poet. He was a captain in the British Army, and he died 1 week before the armistice, 1 week before the war was over, tragically killed, but he left behind a wonderful group of poems. This one's called The Parable of the Old Man and the Young, and I would suggest it's the old way of looking at things, the old, the cold, and the told, versus newness of life, yeah? So Abraham rose and clave the wood and went and took the fire with him and a knife. And as they sojourned, both of them together, Isaac the firstborn spake and said, my father, behold the preparations, fire and iron, but where the lamb for this burnt offering? Then Abraham bound the youth with belts and straps and builded parapets and trenches there and stretched forth the knife to slay his son. When lo, an angel called him out of heaven, saying, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. Behold, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns, offer the ram of pride instead of him. But the old man would not so, but slew his son, and half the seed of Europe, one by one. That's a chilling poem about the First World War, but you know, nothing's changed. It's still the old way of revenge, right? Of going to war, of killing, and the new way, the new dispensation of the coming of the Christ, which offers a higher recognition, yeah? Are we going to continue to do that stupidity? And it's not just outer wars. It's all the inner wars that we wage within our own selves, right? Am I going to go that route again? Am I going to do that? How many times has Jesus been born for you this lifetime? Quite a few, right? And yet we sort of come and go, and oh yeah, there, Christmas has come again, and whatever. But one time, maybe it's going to actually, and maybe it has, there's been moments when, whoa, I understand what that birth is about now. I understand that it's about the possibilities of transformative power in me, yeah? In all its bittersweet quality. And I don't have to decimate Europe. How many people died in the First World War? Millions. How many people died in the Second World War? 50 million, I think. You know, huge amounts of people to live that old, cold, told way of living, right? And we're not going there anymore, are we? We have a new way, a new dispensation. There's voices out there who would like us to go continue with that. But we have to stand up and say, no, I'm living a new life, yeah? A life of possibility. I don't want to leave it down and dirty like that. I want to bring us up a little bit, so I want to read something a little more upbeat. This is by Mark Nepo. I like Mark Nepo. Mark Nepo had cancer when he was in his mid-30s, overcame it, started writing books. He wrote his first book, was a New York Times bestseller. It was called The Book of Awakening. He's recently written a book about his cancer journey called Inside the Miracle, Enduring Suffering, Embracing Wholeness. Wonderful. He writes a lot of poetry. He's been on Oprah, so he's been sanctified. He's been on my show too, so he's been doubly blessed. Whoa! But I really like him. He's a very down-to-earth guy. If you've ever come across his books, they're well worth it, very interesting. And this is just one section from this Book of Awakening, and it's called Meeting the World. And again, we talked about earlier marrying the inner and the outer, and he puts it this way. You must meet the outer world with your inner world, or existence will crush you, right? Because if you're a slave to the outer, slave to circumstance, a slave to the old, the cold, and the told, you're going to die, right? There has to be that understanding that I have a new life that comes from within me. You must meet the outer world with your inner world, or existence will crush you. And he says, there is a wind that keeps blowing since the beginning of time. And in every language ever spoken, it continues to whisper. And it says this, you must meet the outer world with your inner world, or existence will crush you. If inner does not meet outer, our lives will collapse and vanish. Though we often think that hiding our inwardness will somehow protect or save us, it is quite the opposite. The heart is very much like a miraculous balloon. Its lightness comes from staying full. Meeting the days with our heart prevents collapse. Meeting the days with our heart, open-hearted to life and what it can bring us, right? This is why 90-year-old widows remain committed to tending small flowers in spring. Why 10-year-olds with very little to eat care for stray kittens, holding them to their skinny chests. Why painters going blind paint more. Why composers going deaf write great symphonies. This is why, when we think we can't possibly try again, we let out a sigh that goes back through the centuries, and then, despite all our experience, we inhale and try again. To me, that's a really good way of explaining what Christmas is truly all about, right? It's about, yeah, here we are again, right? At the beginning, we're experiencing the birth of that tenderness and innocence, not just in Bethlehem, but in the cradle of our hearts. And we have a bittersweet feeling because we know where it's leading. We know the story. But we get to reimagine it, right? It doesn't end at death on Good Friday. It ends in glory on Easter Sunday. And so there's a happy ending. But it's not going to be any use to us unless we begin to embody it, right? We've been appointed. We've been chosen, and we're appointed. So what's the next step for us? To put it into practice, right? To live it in some little seemingly nondescript way, but that nondescript way could change the world. That's my belief. Because if we do one simple thing with kindness and with expansiveness and generosity, everything changes, yeah? And so it is. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.